From LPM,
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
This is the Artistic Heart Podcast, a podcast with an artistic heart and soul, with Anna Mead and Jack Wallen. Hello, welcome to the Artistic Heart Podcast. This is episode number one. You got that right. This is episode number one, the very first one. My name is Jack Wallen.
My name is Anna Mead.
There we go. And we have something very special to talk about, and I'm going to let Anna tell you exactly what that is.
So this podcast is meant to be a conversation with the creative people here in Louisville of all the different arts, dance, music, theater, writing, visual, all the different arts, talking about creativity and the challenges that we all face and the excitement, but also, you know, what we're dealing with both now and before now.
I will say that this will apply to artists everywhere across the globe. It's not just Louisville, but we're going to be speaking directly to the audience of Louisville because that's where this podcast is based. But if you're an artist, this will apply, I promise you.
Yes, absolutely. It's so, universal.
It is, well, because art is universal. So what this first podcast, this first episode is about is creating art during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of friends out there who are, they feel like they're withering away because they can't do what it is that they do.
In isolation.
Yeah. Theaters are closed across mm-hmm. the world, and the artists that help keep them alive are, well, like I said, they feel like their souls are withering away.
Languishing.
Yes. And I think that I personally, I believe that, and I don't want this to sound morose or morbid or anything, but this is actually a time for artists to flourish.
Oh, I agree.
Because you have, and I know that I'm only speaking to my own experience, but you have an unlimited amount of time right now.
I mean, I definitely think there are artists out there who are struggling with working simultaneously.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of us are dealing with the opposite problem, too much
right.
time. How
right.
do you structure that?
And the thing is that there are right now, in this period of our lives, of our existence, this is, and I don't mean to sound callous or anything, but if there was a perfect time for a pandemic, it would be now. If this happened when I was in college, when I was in undergraduate school or high school, it would have been
a waste.
Because right now we have all of these different channels for which that we can, as artists, channel that creativity.
Mm-hmm.
We have YouTube and we have podcasts. We have you can create videos and movies with a phone.
Yeah, the technology is unbelievable.
Yes,
right now.
And the thing is that it only takes a slight bit of creativity
mm-hmm.
to do something with that. And artists have that in abundance. If they have anything, they have creativity in abundance. Now I know that I kind of have a head start in this because I'm a nerd. And I'm a self-portrait.
Well, I am too,
nerd.
Jack.
Yes. So,
I think the most artists
right,
are.
Right. So technology, I know technology, and mm-hmm. I have cameras, and I have green screens, and I have teleprompters, and I have ring lights, and LED panels, and all this other stuff that I can work with, and but that's not necessary.
Mm.
But what is necessary is for artists, I think, to look beyond their selected medium of art.
Mm.
Now is a time to stretch yourself.
Try something new.
And the one thing that I've always told, you know, because I've taught acting before, and the one thing I've always told that my acting students is that I don't teach actors. I don't teach you acting. I teach you how to be an artist. Because I believe very strongly that actors have to pull upon all mediums. They have to use music. They have to use visual arts. They have to use dance. They have to use directing. They have to use the written word. They have to use everything if they want to be a well-rounded actor. And right now is a great time because what you can be doing is writing your own material.
That's true. I mean, people should try their hand at writing if they've never written. I mean, you and I both write, but maybe this is something that someone could try discover a new talent.
Yes. I had an audition for my agent a few months back, and it was a video audition. So they just wanted a monologue. They wanted a modern monologue. And I was just really, really tired of all the monologues that I had done. And I thought, you know what? They don't know any better. They don't, these people are, they're not the usual auditors looking at people who have done monologue X 3,000 times and they're just sick of seeing it. They just want to see what you got. So I thought, I'm just going to write my own monologue and I'm going to record it. And I recorded it and I sent it to my agent and they said, this is fantastic.
Ooh.
And I thought that was exactly what I needed to do. And I think that that's really important. And I am a big proponent of this, is that you should be doing exactly what you should be doing in the moment you should be doing it.
Hmm.
And the universe will tell you exactly what you should be doing. And right now, the universe is telling every artist out there to be creative.
Mm-hmm. To write or to draw or to dance.
Yes,
my husband has taken the opportunity to start a webcomic. He'd never done visual art before. It's really been amazing watching him teach himself drawing. I think everybody feels like if you didn't draw when you were young, you can't draw now. Well, that's just not true.
Right.
I think it's never too late to start a new art form.
Right. It's just training your body to use your muscles in a different way. And once your body gets used to that muscle memory, it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have, and I mentioned this earlier to you prior to the recording, but I have a theory that I want to propose. Now, this theory doesn't really have to do with what you should be doing. This theory has to do with why you're not doing what you should be doing. Now, for me, and this is another thing I always teach in my classes, art period is all about connection. It's about connectivity. It's not necessarily about just your connection to the material at hand. It's a connection to the person that you're performing with. It's a connection to the director. It's a connection to the writer. It's a connection to the universe that the play happens within. It's a connection to the audience. It goes even beyond that. It's a connection to the city you're in, to the world that we live in. It's a connection to everything. Now, the thing is, and one of the reasons why I believe that artists, especially performing artists, have a lot of problems with during periods like this, is because what happens, and I know this for a fact because I've experienced it so many times, is that you as an actor, you don't just have a connection to your fellow actors. You have a connection to the character you're playing who has a connection to the character the other people you're playing, that the other people are playing on stage. So you are, in effect, existing within two parallel universes. You live two lives. When you're performing in a show, where you're rehearsing and performing in a show. So you have that added dimension of what a lot of people would consider fiction.
Right.
But
it's real to us.
It is. And I know this because one of the reasons why I thought of this, and I'm very transparent person, but I just thought of this while I was in the shower. while I was running earlier today, and this happens to me a lot when I'm exercising, I figured out a problem in the book that I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
And once I figured out that problem, I started thinking about the totality of what I was working on. And then I started, and it started to expand, and it started to expand into my world existing within this pandemic. And then I started thinking about how people are lonely in this pandemic. And then I thought, okay, I have been pretty much existing for the last 10 months with just me and my wife. Now that's great because me and my wife get along great. Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful life together and that's fine. But why am I not lonely outside of just having my wife? I'm not lonely because I'm with my wife, of course, but why am I not socially lonely? And then I realized because I have all these people that I'm with all the time. And then I had to stop myself and go, no, no, no. Those are people in my book that I'm writing. And I thought, but they're real to me.
Right.
Those are people
in your head. Right.
Yes, they're in my head, but they're real to me. And the same thing happens when you're in a show. Those people are real to you. Mm-hmm. The person that you are creating is real to you. And the relationship, that person that you have created has real relationships with the people that other people have created. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a pandemic, it's not just when you're in a pandemic, it's when you're not doing a show. You're missing that parallel universe. You're only living one life. And sometimes that one life is kind of boring. When you compare it to the life that you live in that other reality, it's boring.
Yeah, it's hard to compete, right?
Yeah,
whatever show you're doing.
it's like when I was doing cabaret. How is real life going to compete with that? It's not
difficult.
You know, and you can go back and you can think about just about every show you've done, and you can draw those parallels and go, okay, that show compared to my real life at that time was boring. My life was boring at that time, and then it's a pattern.
But I'm going to push back against you just a tiny bit, because you may not be lonely in this pandemic, but I assure you that's not the case for most people. I think most people do not have that outlet. And even if they are writers as well as actors or dancers or singers or whatever their chosen art is, it's very isolating right now. People who have been creating art collectively with other human beings are now not.
Well, that's part of what I was saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be lonely. I'm saying one of the reasons why you are lonely, why you're lonelier, mm-hmm. is because you don't have that parallel life that you're living. Now, I happen to be, and I know a lot of people are like this, I happen to be one of those artists that kind of trods two different existences. I'm an actor and a writer. So when I'm not acting, I'm writing. So, and I'm very thankful for that, because I'm writing, I'm not experiencing that same powerful, profound loneliness that a lot of people do. And I know that most of the writers that I know are kind of experiencing the same thing. They're like, no, I've not felt that at all, because I have these people that I deal with every day when I write. And no, they're not real. Of course they're not real, but they are. And I know that I don't want to sound callous or cold-hearted, because I'm not at all. But what I'm saying is the reason why artists are having an incredibly hard time, it's not just because they're not doing a show.
Right.
It's not just because they're not hanging out with these people that they love dearly. It's because they're not living these extra lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they don't have that parallel connection with these other, not just the people, but the characters. So what I would suggest to actors and other artists is that even if it's not a performance, that you get some people together on Zoom,
mm-hmm.
and you read shows together. You rehearse these shows and you perform, even if you're just performing them for yourself, because obviously you can't perform them for people because there are legalities involved. But you could get to a cast of people together and read some Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just giving you that gift of connection and that parallel life. It's giving you time to practice your craft.
Well, that's right. I think there's a danger of rust building up and callousness building up and frustration building up. I do think a lot of people went through a phase at the beginning of the pandemic where there was almost an explosion of creativity.
Yeah.
People were recording themselves singing and acting and dancing, and that's still happening. But I think a lot of people have sort of settled into this, oh my God, this is going on forever.
Right. Well, yeah. I think the danger of that is, and I know this from at least from the perspective of being a writer, the danger of what you just explained is the idea of making it a commodity, of going, okay, I'm used to making a living off of being an actor.
Right.
I'm not doing it right now. How am I going to make a living off of it? And then you come up with these brilliant ideas, these wonderful, fantastic, creative ideas. And then you produce them or you do whatever it is. And then you realize that people just don't want to pay money for it.
Right.
And you can't commodify those ideas. And then you just lose your steam and go, well, if I can't make a buck off of these things, I'm not going to do them. And that's hard. That's really
so we're
hard.
Telling people push through that.
Yeah, yes.
Even though, I mean, I do think there's this instinct to commodify all art. It's like if you create visual art, well, you need to sell it in a gallery. If you are a dancer, well, you need to do a performance, you know. But art for art's sake, it's hard to find that nowadays, I think.
It's what I think is interesting is that there's a purity to that. There's a purity to art for art's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that rampant in community theater. And because they're doing it just so they can do it. They're not doing it to make a living at it.
No.
Because you can't make a living.
Having done my share.
Right.
I'm still waiting on all those paychecks to roll in.
I know. But, you know, it's... That's the problem. It's a double-edged sword, you know, and especially for actors who are in a union. I mean, you're really stuck because you can't do community theater, but you can rehearse.
Mm-hmm.
You can get your friends together on Zoom and say, hey, you know what? We're just going to read Midsummer Night's Dream together. Because we got it, you know. I mean, it's just like a pro basketball player. You know, if you don't, even if on your off season, if you're not conditioning yourself when you gets this the time for the season, you're going to be months behind. You've got to continually be working on your craft, even when you're not performing or rehearsing. And right now, this is the time. I would like to say to every actor out there right now has been a 10-month rehearsal period.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably going to go on for a number of months. It might go on until 2020. We might have another year of
this
rehearsal.
This is 2020.
Or 2022. Sorry. That's how bad 2020 is. I don't even know.
It's over in a blink.
Right. So do anything you can. Write a play.
Mm-hmm.
Sit yourself down, write a play, and get some people together and rehearse it. Hear how it sounds. Yet who knows? You might find out, oh my gosh, all those years of doing plays, I can actually write a play.
Well, I do think actors have an instinct for dialogue and for rhythm.
Of course.
That lends itself to playwriting. And I mean, it gives you an opportunity when you're doing the Zoom theater. I played Hermia in a production of Midsummer in the last couple months. And that is a role that I would never be able to do in real life because I'm 5'9" and no director would ever cast me as Hermia, who is famously short.
Yes.
But it gave me a chance to play this character that I will literally never get to play.
Yeah.
And that's special, right? Like,
exactly.
It means that your corporeal self, like your body, is not holding you back in a way that it would on a stage.
Yeah. Now, I do. Here's one thing that I think, I hope, actually, I don't think I hope. I hope when we get on the other side of this, that artistic entities, and I'm not just talking about theaters, I'm talking about television and Hollywood and streaming services, are going to finally realize that quality entertainment doesn't have to cost hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right. Yeah. You think about the people doing it with like nothing budgets. Yes. Right.
We have been entertained for the last 10 months by people with a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this because I have a project that I hope to get off the ground and I hope to do it all on my own. But, you know, and that is with people saying it'll never happen. And me saying, I'm going to try my best to make it happen.
Watch me.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't like being told no.
Right.
And now is the time for people to dream. And when the pandemic is over, realize those dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the powers that be will see that there is some validity in those dreams.
I do think the paradigm is shifting, right? Things are going to change permanently. The way we consume media, the way we create media. And hopefully that's a positive thing. I think overall it is.
That reminds me, we just finished binge watching Schitt's Creek, which is absolutely brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. One of the funniest things that's ever been on television. But that was one of those things. Now, I understand that Dan Levy, he had connections. He had some connections, but he had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it happen.
Yeah.
And if you have a good enough idea, you could make it happen. And right now is the perfect time to come up with those brilliant ideas.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing stopping anyone from brainstorming right now.
The pitch for Schitt's Creek, I mean, you can only imagine. It's like, okay, these rich people are going to go to this ramshackle hotel in this tiny town called Schitt's Creek, and they are going to be fish out of water. And yeah, I mean, you know, like it doesn't sound promising, but when you have those kind of comedic talents behind it, suddenly it's something.
Exactly. And that's a big thing right now. It's that you might, you know, and I watched, there's a special about Schitt's Creek and you get a very short glimpse into the, I think, 16-minute test that they did. And you get a glimpse into that and how rough it was. And right now is the perfect time for people to be coming up with their ideas, filming their ideas, and sending their ideas to people that can make them happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing is that you'll never know if you don't try.
I think people need to take a chance.
Yeah, you've got to take a chance. And artists, and I've known so many artists who are afraid to take a chance. And you see that not just in their lives, but in the way they approach a role. It's mm-hmm. like, why, you know, and of course, not being the director of a show, I can't approach an actor to say, why are you doing this the way everybody else has done this?
Right.
Why aren't you doing this the way you would do this?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's magic in the way you would do it. Just like there was magic in the way someone else did it. Because the way you do something is not the way someone else is going to do something.
Well, because when we start acting, we start with emulating, right? We start by copying the behavior of people that we know and people that we see. But at a certain point, you have to jump off the cliff and say, this is me and this is my role and this is what I'm going to do.
Right. I posted something on I think both Twitter and Facebook the other day, and it was originally advice to writers, because I get asked a lot by new writers for, you know, advice, and I was just thinking, you know, as my brain is wont to do, about tricks to improve your craft, and I posted write the absolute worst thing you can write and then fix it.
You said that.
Because I think this would apply to actors as well.
Mm-hmm.
Memorize a monologue and rehearse it terribly.
As poorly as possible.
Make it as bad as you can. Chew up as much scenery as you can and make absolutely the wrong choices or make the most cliche choices you can. Film yourself doing it. Watch it and then fix it. And then see how many ways you can fix it. See how many different paths you can take with that monologue.
Well, because then the worst has happened, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's all uphill.
And right.
Yeah, that's okay. You chose to be terrible.
Right. And that's what directors do. That's the job of the director.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is hopefully you're not taking the absolute worst of you into the first rehearsal. You're taking the absolute best of you into the first rehearsal and hoping like hell the director is going to say, oh, you're perfect. Don't change anything. But the truth of the matter is,
no. I did finalize a part on Final Dress, so.
Right. I think that's happened to me one time where I went into first rehearsal and a director said, okay, that's not what I was thinking about that character, but that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, my work's done. Not really. I was just kidding. But, you know, it's fascinating. And I'm always absolutely fascinated by ways in which we can improve what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always looking for new routes to that.
Well, and that's what this podcast is going to be, right? We're going to explore all kinds of new ideas.
Yes.
Chances you can take.
Because, you know, you're an artist. You've got to take chances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're going to run into this so many times where you realize that it's all been done.
Right.
Every choice that you have made has been chosen already. The difference is you've got to take other choices and combine them with that choice, put them through your own filter and make them unusual, make them unique.
Well, and I think we've all been hibernating, right?
Yes.
But it's time to bloom. It's time to stretch out our leaves and flower because, you know, the world has been a very scary place. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that. But I do believe things are trending better. And so now is the time to push through your fear and your stress and your angst and just try something new.
Right. And I think that pushing through your fear is very important because once you get beyond that point, once you get beyond the point where you can say, I'm not afraid anymore, you will take chances that you've never taken before. And you will be free to make choices that will open up new paths to you. And and you will find your work is exponentially better. And one of the things, when I was in graduate school, I have an MFA in acting. And the thing that they pounded over our head the most was trusting our instincts and always trusting your instincts and letting those instincts guide you into, through, and out of rehearsal. And their goal, their ultimate goal was to make us director proof so that when we go into a show and you have a terrible director.
Right.
You can still get through it and not look bad. And I know that, and I don't want that to sound arrogant or anything because it's not. But the truth of the matter is you're going to, and I have, you're going to run into directors that just don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And you can't take control of the show. But what you can do is do your work. And your work will carry you through that experience. And like in all artistic communities, I don't even remember the adage, but as you float to the top, you're going to pull everybody up with you. All boats, what is it? All boats rise.
Rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah, rising tide lifts all boats. You be that rising tide.
This is why you need me on this podcast, Jack.
Right.
To tell you what year it is and to remind you of adages.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, it's rough. It's rough right now.
Well, and I think a lot of people are burying their instincts, right? You were talking about how important it is and they're burying them because it's easier, right?
It is. It is. But the thing is you can't let this get you down. You can't let this be the thing that stops you.
You got from doing this.
Yeah. And even if you're even if you don't do Zoom, there are one man and one woman shows out there. Find one, memorize it.
You could pick up an instrument.
Learn an instrument.
You could draw. You could dance. I believe everybody has a dancer in their soul somewhere. Even if you look like a fool, just go for it.
Yeah, and that's just the thing. Just learn to experience joy in your art. Even if you know, that's one of the things that I know that so many artists are guilty of. They will prevent themselves from doing things because they're afraid they'll look stupid.
Right.
Guess what? You don't have an audience right now.
Well, and we all look afraid sometimes.
Of course we do. Of course we do. I look back on some of the performances I've had over my life, and I think, what was I thinking?
Some of them were captured on video.
I know. And, you know, I can even look back at some of the books I've written and go, huh? Now, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, the books kind of live on forever because I will never touch them. You know, I have writers all the time say, have you ever thought about going back to your early works and rewriting them? No, because those existed.
No, that was a snapshot of a time.
Exactly. And you know, I'm not going to touch that. But, okay. We've rambled on, as we are wont to do. And, and we know that we need to keep these short. But the lesson from this, I think, is to not let the pandemic prevent you from being an artist. Because that's what you are to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you feel like you're withering away is you are not you're not allowing that soul, and you're not giving that soul an audience, even if it's an audience of one and that audience is you.
I've talked to a lot of people who are like, well, I'm not a writer. I haven't been writing. I'm not an actor. I've not been performing. You're still a writer.
You are.
You're still an actor.
Yeah.
You're still an artist.
I took a hiatus from acting for 10 years once. And I remember the first show that I did after that hiatus. I was scared, and I was mostly scared because I didn't know if I could memorize anymore. But at that first table read, the first word came out of my mouth. I was like, oh yeah, that's what it's like.
That's the thing.
It never leaves you, and it never will. You were born an artist. You will die an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let a pandemic tell you that you're not, because you are. And we're here to remind you of that.
That's right. So tune in for next time.
when we blather on more about a single topic. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening to The Artistic Heart. This is our first episode. We promise that it'll improve.
Yes.
Thank you. The Artistic Heart podcast is produced by Anna Mead and me, Jack Wallen. It's distributed by Louisville Public Media. Our theme song was written and performed by Craig Waits. To suggest a topic or ask questions, feel free to reach us on Twitter at either JL Wallen or RUANNA3.
Support for LPM Podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.